Thank you, Mandy and Becky and Aaron and Marty for his words, and the worship team to lead us. Because I feel like I've been in church, don't you, already? Because God is so good. Would you bow your head with me? Father, we sense your presence this morning. We sense what you're wanting to do. Lord God, we know you can heal right while we're listening to your word. We know you can speak to circumstances right while we're listening to your word. And we have been energized, Lord God, of salvation. We've been energized that, Lord God, you're moving amongst your people. Lord God, that nothing is beyond your reach. And Lord God, even though we can't see it, we still know you're working. And by faith, we believe it. Lord God, that you would continue to do amazing things in our lives as we go to your word now. May your word touch our hearts, and may our hearts be open and ready to receive what you have for us today. Because it's not by accident that we're here. Each one of us is here to hear your word. And may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. We've come to the last Sunday of Advent, and we see that Christmas Eve is coming tomorrow. Whether you're ready or not, it's going to be here tomorrow. So I don't know where you're at with all of that, but it's going to be here. And for the last several weeks, we've tried to look at Christmas in a fresh new way, fresh eyes, fresh anointing, with an open heart to see God do some amazing things. We've looked at joy and peace and God's love and the hope that we have in Christ, and prayerfully that's where your heart is. And that's where God is going to be able to minister to us. That's where God is going to be able to do those extraordinary things. You cannot have Christmas without Christ. Otherwise, it's just going to be chaos. It's just going to be a mess. And you're just going to be passing out gifts. And you're going to be overstuffed from food. But without Christ in Christmas, you've lost and changed the whole meaning of the event that God has placed in our hearts that should be excitement. The Christmas story tells us of God's great love, and that the Father would send his Son here to die on the cross for us. That if Jesus never came, if he never went to the cross, and if he never went to die for us, we couldn't experience the love and the salvation and the redemption that God has for us. If we didn't have a Savior come, we could never have a Savior redeem. Amen? God has a mighty plan, and he worked the plan. And he changed people's lives. I love this. The plan of Almighty God is that he hears us. He heard us cry out. He knows that we can't do these things on our own, and that if we would put our trust in him to what he's already done, we can have eternal life. And Paul Tripp says it this way: allow yourself to be confronted by the Christmas story's message of desperate need. It is the only explanation of why Jesus came. You say amen to that? If you look at the Christmas story, you see that Jesus came for one reason, and that was to redeem mankind. Love came down so that we might experience God and be able to have a plan of eternal life with him. The plan of God was using Mary and Joseph. And I love this. I can't get the quote exactly right because I didn't plan on saying it. But I'm sitting here thinking that in his plan, his perfect plan, that he didn't let Joseph know what was going on till after he talked to Mary, and after that he seen the angels and everything that was going on. And it dawned on me, you know, that is where we're at sometimes. God has not given us all everything at one time. One, we can't handle it sometimes. One, it wasn't his timing. But Joseph understood after he had the experience with the angel and said, hey, what you're planning to do, keep on doing, because God's in this. And then if you look at this and you see this, that God had this plan of having Joseph and Mary take and go back for their census and go back to experience that no room in the inn. I guess that's one of the favorite parts, Because in a plan, you think, well, hey, there was no room at the end. There was no glorified place where the Son of God was going to be born. But then you find that that's fulfillment of Scripture. God, that was in God's plan. Even though we think and we look at some things at times that doesn't seem like it should fit, and it, you know, it's like God forgot us, it's all part of His plan. And then the angels appearing before the shepherds and showing God's love and His plan of redemption. If you think that was a coincidence, all of those things, a coinkadink, I like to say, if you think that's a coinkadink, then you probably believe that you evolved instead of being created by a God that loves us. And if you know, God's plan played out to the shepherds, and all I can say is, God, what were you thinking? You know what I mean? God, what were you thinking? The God of heaven's going to come. Why would you come to the shepherds? Why wouldn't you come in glory? Why wouldn't you come in you know, first class all the way? But instead, you come to the lowest of the food chain at the time. The ones that were religious hated him. The ones that were looking at those shepherds as being unclean. Those that were out in the field and wouldn't even be allowed into the temple. He chose those people. You ever hear those people that say, those people? Well, those shepherds were one of those people that God decided He was going to come and show His goodness. For them to be in the field and all heaven breaks out. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being a shepherd during that period of time? And all of a sudden, like, heaven breaks out as a woo, kind of a song just breaks out. And you see all kinds of angels. And some of them are in awe looking like the deer in the headlights. Others are probably just fearfully and wondering what's going to happen next. But to me, that must have been awesome. And I look at this verse. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those that His favor fell. If I was one of them shepherds, I'd be saying, I hope I got God's favor about right now. I hope I'm in His good graces. You know, the highest heavens, angels break out and they're praising God and fulfilling His plan and putting His plan in action. And He uses one of the worst that the world despised by choice to bring the message. What did the shepherds do when you think about it? What did the shepherds do once they experienced those things and saw God working? When life suddenly changed, how many would understand that their life would never be the same again? I mean, if God broke through the clouds and started speaking to people and you see the heavenly angels start praying and praising, your life would never be the same again. So what did they do? The scripture tells us, let's go see this thing that's happened. Last year I used that as the theme for Christmas. Let's go see what this thing is that's happened and let's go investigate for ourselves, which the Lord has told us. And they hurried off to find the baby Jesus. And they find Him laying in a manger just like the angel said, and they worshiped Him. They experienced God. They experienced what God wanted for their lives, and they were never the same again. And I think about this. I like Francis Chan. I've read a lot of his books. He's a author and a pastor, and he shares a story in one of his books, and I think that it's completely shows the love of God and. He's doing a wedding, big church, big author, probably not a lot of time, doesn't do a lot of weddings, but he does this couple's wedding for, I believe, because she was a middle-aged woman who lost her husband through death, and together they had a 26-year-old daughter that had the mental capacity of a six-year-old, and she was getting remarried, And he says that there they are on their exciting day, and they're up front, and he's going through the vows, and he's going through the exchanging of the rings. And before they finish and pronounce that they're a husband and wife, the husband says, "I want to talk to the 26-year-old girl that had the mentality of a 6-year-old. The one thing that was amazing the whole time through all of this and the counseling that they went through with Francis Chan is Francis Chan says that the wife, the bee, could not believe that a man would love her with her challenges. One, she was getting older. Two, she had a 26-year-old daughter that had the mentality of a 6-year-old. And she was like, I can't believe someone would love me like that. And there that she was in her day, her moment. And as they were about to exchange, the husband to be says, I want the daughter, and he named the daughter to come up. He says, I have a ring for you too. He says, because I'm also pledging myself to you today, showing you that I care and love you, and that this family will be together. And the bride is confused that such a person would love them. The daughter, all she could muster up was, I love you, I love you, I love you, and coming up and just like a little child to a parent, I love you, I love you, hugging him and taking him in. He said that Francis Chan said, I've never broken in a wedding ever before and not since. He said, but I broke. He said, there we were all weeping. The congregation was weeping. And he said, it was the most perfect experience that I've ever seen of the love of God. Because he said, there was a woman saying, God, how could you love me? Or how could a man love me like that? And God shows his love to her. And then the challenge of the 26-year-old daughter and reaching in and saying, yes, I love you. Folks, that's the love of God. Do you understand that this morning? I think sometimes we get so wrapped up and so busy and so distracted and so unable to see God moving that even when he is moving, we think he's not. Or we think that he's forgotten and he hasn't heard us. And we need to know that God's love is like that. We don't deserve it, but we get it. And he provides everything that we need. And no matter the challenges or the things that are in our lives, he still loves us and wants us to experience his love, not because he has to, but because he wants to. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. In that manger is a God that loves us and is not willing to see us perish and wants to redeem us and wants to have a relationship with us and wants it to be more than a casual acquaintance, but he wants to dwell within us. And I challenge you to experience the manger, to experience Christ, to be amazed at the words of the shepherd and let them ring out in your ears and that they followed Jesus and had the ambition to serve him and wanted to know and looked at the words of the boy Jesus and they followed the adult Jesus. Because following Jesus is amazing. Do you hear me this morning? Don't look at him only in the manger. And don't only think of him as the little boy that was at the temple talking and teaching even his elders. And don't just look at the adult Jesus that walked around doing miracles. But follow him. Experience him and allow him to do these amazing things in our lives. We sing the song, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Let earth rejoice and receive the King. But sometimes we don't live like that. And we sing the second verse, he rules the world, but we don't think that he rules and allows us to surrender. And the truce and the grace doesn't fit us. I want you to know that, you know, what it's not amazing that God saved somebody this week. It's amazing when we respond. Because he wants to do these things. He desires to do these things. This morning, I just have a few minutes here. I want to share a couple truths that we can look at in this baby Jesus in a manger and what love that God shows us. And here's it. If you're taking notes here, it's 2 points. It's very simple. God's love is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. You've got to understand that he didn't have to come. He chose to come. That to me is amazing. You don't know everything about me. I sit and I wonder and I am amazed that God would love me. And we probably all had that conversation with God too. Because we all have skeletons. We all have things that we wish wouldn't have happened and things we wouldn't have done or said. But God's love is unconditional. He says, I chose you. Yet while you were a sinner, I chose you. Yet while you were a sinner, I died for you. He brought good news, according to this, that caused great joy for all people. He came to redeem all people. For by grace you've been saved, so that you can't boast. None of us can boast that, you know, we've done anything except respond to the call of God, respond to his goodness, respond that he loves us. His love is not based on performance. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad? We try to make it by work sometimes. You glorified saints. Sometimes we try to make it by works. You know, the longer we've been saved, sometimes we forget where we came from. We forget what God has done in our lives. We forget that we're sinners saved by grace. We forget that his blood washed our sins white too. We forget about that sometimes. And sometimes God has to remind us he loves us in spite of you. You say amen to that? He loves you in spite of who you are and your weaknesses. He loves you so that you might have eternal life. He loves you so much that he came that he might give you abundant life now. It amazes me sometimes how Christians forget that God loves them. Second, how much that he wants abundant life now. If we would let him in. If we let him in our circumstances, let him in these things. He doesn't say, I will give you all the blessings in heaven and you got to go through hell now. He says, if we can have an abundant life and it's included now. It's included in how he wants to see things in our lives now. His life and his love for us is not based on performance. It's based on what he's done. None of us can boast. It's what he's done. What he wants done. Coming in a dirty manger is the first step he took to love us. You say amen to that? It's the first step. If he'd have stopped there, it wouldn't have been enough. He had to go to the cross and he had to be resurrected. We see it from the manger to the cross and we can experience it right now. I think we are experiencing it right now in the service because God has been doing things and stirring in people's hearts. And we see these things and your pastor's energized. And the more that we see God do these things, it should energize us. We see God's love in Luke 15 when we look at the prodigal son. And we see a son that went out on his own, decided that he wanted all of his inheritance, wanted to do all of his thing, working, and finds out very quick that it's not working. How many know that sometimes you go out on your own thinking that you can do without God, and you can do without godly parents, and you can do all these things without God, and you get out there and you find out that it ain't working. And this son found out very quickly it's not working, seeing that he was, one, willing to eat what the pigs were being served until he realized, I got better. If I just go home and ask my father to repent, I'll have it better. Even if he makes me just like one of his workers, I'll be living better than I am right now. And that son decides he's going home. And I love this because it's God. As he was coming home and as he was determining how he was going to ask his father how to forgive him and even just allow him to be at the level of his workers, the scripture tells us that his father was waiting for him and puts a robe on him, gives him the family ring, decides a celebration and they're going to have a feast and all these things. And he didn't have to grovel to come back to the father. Isn't that great? Isn't that the love of God? He didn't have to grovel. As soon as he began to come back, his father was there with open arms. And that is how God works and operates in our lives. I love this part. He didn't have to clean himself up. How many have heard somebody, I've heard it over the years in ministry, that somebody says, well, when I get this, this, and this taken care of, I'm going to start going to church. No. God doesn't tell us to come clean ourselves up and then come. Come to church and then get cleaned up. Come and have, experience God and let Him clean you up. And as believers, then we need to be patient with some that God's still working on. How would that have been if the kid finally decides he's going home to the father and says, well, yeah, let me hose you down first because you smell like a pig. That's not what he did. He wanted his father to love him, and he was trusting that his father was going to love him, and that's Christ's love. We don't have to clean ourselves up first. He's already made the first move. Second thing is this, God's love reaches beyond our circumstances. Jesus had to come. There was no other way for Christ to touch mankind with his love but to come and die for us. And sometimes God has to show us tough love. Say amen. And anybody besides me ever been there? Experiencing God's tough love, and even as mad as you get at God for what he's doing, you know that he still loves you and that you're getting corrected because he loves you. The early church faced persecution. The early church faced injustice, prejudice, racial tension, fights between right and wrong, the same as we're experiencing today. It doesn't change. God's in our corner. God's fighting for us. The Apostle Paul to the persecuted church in Romans 8, 38 and 39 says this, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Man, that's good stuff. That ought to have us praising God. That ought to have us in our low moments wanting God to do something far more than we can even imagine. Christ's love, if we're honest, we can't grip that. I try to grasp it. I can't because I can't grab onto that. But it's God's love. It's His comprehension to grasp it for us and allow us to understand that if we come, that some of the things will be made sense to us. This child, Jesus, comes, and the scriptures say that will cause the failing and rising of many in Israel. Why? Because some will accept him and some won't. That's the bottom line. That's the day we live in now. That's the day we lived in then. And my question is he loves all and desires all to come, but he knows not all will. And, you know, it's not that he don't want to. And his love is spread out. And my thought this morning as I wrap this up is, will you receive his love? Will you not get so busy and be so wrapped up in your day and your distractions and everything else that you will really experience the love of God like that mother with a disabled child did? That felt like nobody could love her, but God loves her. Nobody would take on the challenge of her and her child, but God brought someone to do that. And then I think, you know, will we personally engage in his love? Will we personally desire for God to do something amazing? And I think of Simeon, the priest that scripture tells us was waiting to see the Christ child and was getting old and wondering if he was going to be able to see the prophecy that was given fulfilled. And, you know, after seeing him, he says these words. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arm, praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servants in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to the people Israel. He is for all people. He is wanting to have us respond to him. And my question is, will you take the steps? I don't know where you're at this morning. I know God is doing amazing things. I know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I know that faith comes sometimes at the times that we are most desperately needing something else. And God is ministering to us. God is saying something to us. God is energizing us. God is trying to bring truth to us. And sometimes God has to say, you got to take this personal. I love you. Not like you all. I love you. Taking it personal. He does love us all, but taking it personal and reaching out to him and allowing him to change your life. And I'm asking you this morning, if you've never done that, today would be a great day. Amen? Today would be a great day to search your heart for a moment and allow God to speak to you, allow God to minister to things going on. If you've been struggling, today would be a good day. If you've walked away from the Lord and you've been disobedient, or you've just been kind of hanging on edge, and you know, truth be told, you'd been spiritually in decline rather than moving forward, today would be a good day. Today would be a good day to open your arms and ask God to forgive you and embrace him and move forward to what he has for you and take and walk with him. I like this portion of scripture where Jesus is talking in Matthew. I believe it's Matthew 26. He says, do you think that I cannot appear and appeal to my Father, and will he not send more than 12 legions of angels? And I think about that at the word of God, Jesus Christ could call on his Father and more than 12,000 angels could have come and took him off that cross. But it wasn't his plan. His plan was to complete it. His plan was to see it through. And this morning, I'm asking you to not only thank him. Sometimes we need to thank him, we need to praise him, we need to remember him, we need to serve him, and we need to lift him up and give him his place in your life. Amen? So would you just bow your head with me this morning? And Father, I'm asking, Lord God, right now, as you just quiet us for a moment, we see you doing amazing things. I'm asking, Lord God, that you would break down barriers. I'm asking, Lord God, that you would take away doubt, that you would take away fear, that you would take away the things that would keep us from serving you. And Lord God, today, that we would be a congregation and a body of believers that are not only energized by you loving us, but Lord God, that we would serve you for eternity. We would serve you here as you provide opportunity for us to come across people's lives and be able to share the good news. See, we can't hold in Christ's love. Once we experience it, we need to tell others. Once we experience it, we need to be showing others Christ's love as we live out into this world that desperately needs to see God's love. This morning I'm asking each one of us to take a moment to search our heart, to make sure that we're where we need to be. If we've never asked you into our lives, if we never really can think of a moment where we surrendered ourselves to you, but we somehow got where we're at, but we've never taken the moment to surrender our lives to you, I ask that we would do that right now, simply by asking you into our lives, acknowledging that you're Lord of our life, acknowledging that you died on the cross for each one of us and was resurrected. And because of your resurrection, we can have a resurrection. And because of that resurrection, we can have eternity with you. Lord God, if there's anyone here this morning that has never done that, I pray they would right now. I pray that they would tell someone and acknowledge that today God changed my life. I will no longer be the same. I'm asking, Lord God, for those that have walked away and struggled, and then knowing that, Lord God, that they need to return, but for whatever reason have not. I'm asking, Lord God, that they also would ask your forgiveness, and then just like the prodigal son returning to the Father, may they experience the love that you have with open arms, putting on the robe of the family and the ring of the family, acknowledging that gladly take you back into the family. Would we rejoice in that this morning? God, do something amazing today. I pray that there's hearts changed, lives changed, and that you, Lord God, not only saved one person this week in their home, but Lord God, today you've changed somebody's life, and that they would acknowledge it by letting someone know and living that life for Christ and learning and seeking and desiring to be a disciple of Christ now. And we'll give you honor. We'll give you praise in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.